Good morning. This is your announcer, Jim Kless, seated just off the chancel of St. John's on the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. As this commentary leads you through our worship service, we hope you will feel as if you are here with us in person. Our order of worship this morning will be the Liturgy for Holy Communion by Marty Haugen. Our worship assistant this morning is Laura Tyrone.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you this morning for worship. Good to see all of you here. Just a quick couple remarks regarding the service this morning. First, just to let you know, Lois is going to be playing the piano this morning. She's having some balance issues. So just to keep her feet planted on the ground, she's going to play the piano rather than the organ, all right, which will be a nice change, I think. The order of service this morning is there's a few things in the service. What I thought this week is that with the upcoming Reformation celebration at the end of the month, I thought it would be kind of neat for us to focus on that theme throughout the entire month of October. And so I've added a few little things in the liturgy. And I will be taking you through a sermon series for the next 4 months, focusing on some of the stuff that came out of the Reformation. So that's my plan, with the grand culmination being, I believe it's the 27th or 28th of this month, being the 500th anniversary celebration of the Reformation of 1517. So that's why the church is in red, and we're going to keep the church in red for the entire month. As a sort of celebratory, to give that celebratory feeling. All right. The changes that you're going to see, there's an opening litany, but the big one is probably where the creed is. Rather than doing the entire Apostles' Creed, what I did is I'm doing a catechism connection. So I'm going to focus on a different article of the creed each week. And Luther's explanation from the Small Catechism. All right, so that's the biggest difference there. Sound good? All right, let's stand. We're going to sing together Amazing Grace, hymn number 509.
Please join us. We sing our opening hymn, Amazing Grace, hymn 509 in the Lutheran worship.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Your word, O Lord, declares to us the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to you, O God, our mighty fortress. Your word, O Lord, tells us that all that we have and are comes to us by your grace. Thanks be to you, O God, our mighty fortress. Your Son reveals to us, O Lord, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Thanks be to you, O God, our mighty fortress. O Lord, by grace alone, through faith alone, and Scripture alone, we come to know Christ alone, the way, the truth, and the life. Thanks be to you, O God, our mighty fortress. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For the reign of God and for peace throughout the world, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
people here who have come to give you praise for the strength to live your word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, and defend us, O God.
Feast and celebration, all of creation sings for joy to the God of life and love and freedom, praise and glory forevermore. Now is the feast of the Lamb was slain, whose blood has freed and united us to be one great people.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, in your grace, you have raised up leaders for your church, including Martin Luther, who have labored so that the gospel may be proclaimed in its fullness. Continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon your people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all enemies of your word, and bestow on them your abiding peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please have a seat.
The lector this morning is Laura Tyrone. May God open our hearts to receive the word he has speak to us through her.
And also verses 25 through 32. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents eat sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For everyone belongs to me, the parents as well as the child. Both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, you Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. But if a wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life, because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them, that person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 25 as printed in your worship bulletin.
In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way.
Our second reading this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
Please stand, if able, for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 23 through 32.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or of human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As I mentioned at the start of the service, this is one of the differences. Just to give you a little background, in 1529, after visiting some of the churches in the surrounding area of Wittenberg, Luther kind of came to realize that there wasn't a basic understanding of the simple things in the faith. And so in 1529, he drafted what is for us the Small Catechism. So I suppose in Lutheran churches since 1529, even on to today, we use the Small Catechism as the main teaching tool for confirmation. But it's this Small Catechism, it's the Small Catechism that this section is drawn from, as Luther went on to explain the three parts of the Apostles' Creed: God the Father, Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit. And so this is Luther's explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears,
ears and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land animals, all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
Please have a seat. By grace I'm saved, hymn number 351.
Join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, By Grace I'm Saved, hymn 351 in the Lutheran worship. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
By grace I'm saved, grace free and boundless. My soul believes and doubt it not. Why stagger at this word of promise? As Scripture ever falsehood taught, Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned already at the start of the service, the end of this month marks the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. Now the theological basis of the Reformation, although it was deep and there was a lot of stuff that came out of it, at the same time it was really rather simple. It rested really on three principles. And these three principles, they were called the three solas. Have you ever heard of that before? The three solas? Sola is a Latin word that means alone. And so these three solas were grace alone, faith alone, and scripture alone. Sound familiar now? Grace, faith, and scripture. We're saved by grace through faith, and we know this through scripture. And it's grace, faith, and scripture that point us to Christ alone. And it's these four topics that are going to, these are the four topics that I'm going to kind of move you toward over the next few weeks. Today, obviously, I'm not going to take care of all of them today. So today I want to talk to you about grace. Martin Luther once said, "We find no rest for our weary bones unless we cling to the words of grace." He said, "Grace is given to heal the spiritually sick, not to decorate spiritual heroes. It's grace alone that counts. God's kingdom is to be a kingdom of grace, belonging to those who are poor and in need." So what's grace besides a nice name? What's grace? How do you understand the word grace? This is where you come in. What do you think? What is, don't overthink it. Just what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word grace? Forgiveness. Okay, what else? God's free gift to us. What else? Where's my confirmation people? Something love, blank love. Huh? Unconditional? Yeah, unconditional love. Put the on, add it to a deserved. Confirmation kids, grace is undeserved. Undeserved love? Right? Sound familiar? Ooh, boy. We just did it Wednesday. Grace, undeserved love, huh?
Undeserved forgiveness.
Yes.
Giving us heaven when we deserve hell.
Giving us heaven when we deserve hell. And why do we deserve? Because of sin, right? Sinfulness, yeah. What else? Helena had one last night. She saved it from her portals of prayer. I don't know how long ago it was, but grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that good? So each letter, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. I thought that was so fantastic, right? But grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, it's forgiveness, it's life, it's undeserved love. And that's how God operates. He operates by grace. Now, of course, the Bible is filled with all different kinds of examples of grace, but I think that one of the most remarkable examples of grace and how it operates is found in the parable of the forgiving father, or the parable of the prodigal son. I think we all know that story very well. So let's see if we can kind of work through that. It wasn't the gospel reading that Laura read for us today, but I think, and I'm certain that we can work through this parable very well on our own. So there were three main characters in that parable, right? There was the youngest son, and then there was the dad, and then there was the older son. So what do we know about the younger son? What was the deal with the younger son? He wanted to go off on his own, and in order to go off on his own, what did he do? He wanted his inheritance. So that's like me going up to my mom, hint, mom, I don't know what you're leaving me, but I want it now. See, see what she just did? I've given you all you need in my presence, right? But that's what it would be like. It would be like me going to my mom and saying, "Mom, you know, I you're important to me and all, but can you just give me your inheritance? That's kind of more important. So in other words, this younger son, what he's indirectly kind of doing is saying, Dad, you're as good as dead to me. I mean, seriously. So just give me what you're going to give me now, right? Well, the father gives, right? So the father gives to his youngest son. Now, how would you react, by the way? That wasn't her true reaction, right? Probably would have a hand across my, right? But how would you have reacted? How would you have reacted, or how would you react if one of your children came up to you and said, give me my inheritance now. Wait till I'm dead. Yeah. It's almost disrespectful, though, isn't it? It's not almost, it's very disrespectful. But this is what he does, and the father gives. And so the son goes off, and he takes that inheritance, and he does with it what he wants. If we were to go to the gospel, he squandered it. He didn't use it wisely. He completely just wasted that inheritance that his dad gave to him. Now, while he's out, and he runs out of what he has, he begins to look around, and he sees what other people have, and he's in deep need now, right? And he thinks to himself, boy, even my dad's servants have to be eating better than I do. And that moves in him the desire to go back to the place where he came, to go back home. Now that obviously takes a lot of strength to be able to do that, because, well, you don't know what the response of the father is going to be, right? I mean, you disrespected him. But he does it anyway. He makes his way home. And as he's making his way home, the dad is out working, doing his stuff, and he sees from a distance, and you just have to picture that in your own mind, what it must have been like. He sees from a distance, you know how it is, maybe you can't figure out, is that really it? Is that really what I see? And he takes his glasses and moves, is that it? And he comes to realize that that's his son. And his reaction is amazing. There's not even a thought that crosses his mind. There's not even a delay. When he sees his son, he stops what he's doing and he runs for him. And he embraces him. He hugs him. And he kisses him. And he rejoices because his son was home. His son who was lost. His son who he thought was dead, was alive. His reaction is not at all what we would expect, right? But his reaction is one of grace, motivated by love. Now, there's one other character in that parable, and that's the older brother. How did the older brother react to all of this? He didn't like it at all. Wasn't at all in favor of what happened, was he? When he realized what his dad did for his younger brother, embraced him, even threw a party for him, he's angry. And he does the comparison game, doesn't he? Dad, how could you? Look at me. I'm so much better. I've been loyal to you all my life. I work for you, and you don't even give me this. But this brother who squandered, this brother who disowned you, essentially, you give him everything. You throw a party for him. How could you? Well, isn't that how we act sometimes? Don't we do the comparison game? Don't we compare and even justify ourselves at times? We do that, don't we? Well, I'm not as bad as that person, so I should get more. We look at our relationship with God even, right? We say, well, God, I go to church every week. Sometimes if I'm an elder, I might even have to be there twice a weekend. I told the people at Greenfield yesterday when I was there, go, you guys got nothing on me this weekend. I got 5 services this weekend. So I got to be up here, right? But we do that sometimes. As a Christian, God, look at me. Look at how I act. I'm certainly better than those people. So I must be more deserving of your love. I must be more deserving of your forgiveness. There must be a better place reserved for me in heaven one day. I think we like the merit system a little bit more than we do the grace system, don't we? Martin Luther once said, if God were willing to sell his grace, we would accept it more quickly and gladly than when he offers it for nothing. Why? Because there's something in us that kind of likes that merit system. If I do, then this. And that secures a place for me. Because we like that merit system, we sometimes elevate ourselves then above others. But that isn't at all how it works, is it? Especially in our relationship with God. When it comes to our relationship with God, we're not above anybody else. We're all on the same level, aren't we? We're sinful by nature. And like that younger son, by sin, that sin nature, sometimes we do exactly as he did. We squander the good gifts that God has given to us. Because of that sinful nature in us, we're not at times deserving of the Father's love because of how we act, because of how we sometimes treat one another, because of how we don't make good use of the gifts that God has given us and express them well to others. We're called to have charitable hearts, and sometimes we have the complete opposite, don't we? We have those selfish, comparing hearts. And how that can abound in our lives. And because of that, if it were based upon merit, if it were based upon what we did and getting us right with God, where would we stand? Where would we stand? Nowhere. Flat on our face, right? You see, not only are we the older brother in the parable, but we're also the younger son. We're in desperate need of undeserved love. Just like that father exhibited that love to his son. And that's exactly what God does for you and for me. That's grace. God's love is given to you and me. His grace is given to you and me, not because of what we've done or what we've accomplished, but because he's motivating it. It's given to us because he loves us. And so deep is that love, that unconditional love, that he goes to work to secure it by giving his own son to die on that cross so that we might have forgiveness, so that we can know that we can approach him over and over and over again and know his embrace. He gives his son who dies for you and me so that when we turn from our ways, right, and turn back to the Father, there he is, always. That's grace. To know love that comes to us despite ourselves. That's grace. To know forgiveness that comes to you and me freely, but not cheap. If you get that, it came at great cost, didn't it? That grace was won for you and me by the blood of our Jesus. But it's ours. And it's that grace won It belongs to you and me. It's grace, and grace alone. And as you and I receive that grace, that undeserved love, as you and I receive forgiveness and life won for us by Jesus on the cross, it's that grace then that flows through us. Grace, you see, is given to us by God, and that grace then flows right through us so that we might be a grace-filled people, changed by it, transformed by it. As grace flows out of us, we become the very people who forgive as we've been forgiven. It isn't easy. And it wasn't easy for Jesus, was it? But we become those very people who are grace-motivated and forgive. We repent of our sins. We turn away. We forgive one another. We await in hope, just like the father and the prodigal son. We rejoice in reconciliation. Relationships restored. And as grace-filled people, we see the needs of those around us and we respond. Not because they're deserving, but because grace and love motivate us. That's grace. Grace. And it's all in God's power as His love goes to work in us. That's grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregational offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored and brought to you by Bryant and Candy Possinger in celebration of God's gift of Lucas 11 years ago. Happy special day.
I invite you to please stand for the offertory prayer. It is our faith that brings us here, O God. It is our faith that leads us to offer these things. Accept these gifts as an expression of thanks for all you have given to us. Use these gifts for service in the church and world, that all may come to know you and your all-providing love. Amen. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a word of prayer for Rose Kirsch. She had some surgery this past week on her foot. And also for Shirley Connors. She was hospitalized at Millard Fillmore Suburban this past week. So please say a special word of prayer for Shirley. Let's pray. O mighty fortress, we thank you for blessing your church with leaders who brought to light the knowledge of your saving grace through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. Help us to continue to enlighten those who dwell in darkness and fear of sin, that their sins have been paid for by Christ, and they are now free. Lord, in your mercy, keep us strong upon a rock. O mighty fortress, help us to stand firm upon the rock of your holy word. Let the words of Scripture sink deep into our soul and be our strength through every trying time. Move us to read your word regularly, respect what it says, and live according to it. For we know that the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but your word lasts forever. Lord of mercy, keep us strong upon a rock. O mighty fortress, during this Reformation celebration, may we, as Martin Luther taught us, with all boldness and confidence, come to you in prayer as dear children, as your dear Father. Open our mouths to speak from the heart about our every concern. Open our ears to listen to you. Align our will to yours as we communicate with you. Lord of mercy, keep us strong upon a rock. O mighty fortress, be our armor as we battle the giants of this world and the enemies of our faith. Remind us always that you are with us no matter what the situation. Give us the words to say to disarm those who stand against your way. Make us ready to fight to preserve the truth that you have dominion over everything in heaven and on earth. Lord of mercy, keep us strong upon a rock. O mighty fortress, be our refuge and our strength when we're weak and in need. Protect us from the storms of this world. Shelter us from disasters of any kind. Grant healing, we pray, this day to those who are sick, those who are grieving, those who are in any kind of need. Especially we pray for Rose and Shirley, our friends and family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Let your love and care surround them and comfort them in their distress. And let all those who are suffering in any way, in body, mind, and spirit, find their rest and rejuvenation in you. Lord of mercy, keep us strong upon a rock. O mighty fortress, keep us ever mindful of the rock that was rolled away from your tomb on Easter morning when you arose victorious over death. Keep us ever aware of the heavy weights you continue to roll away for us. Help us not to be weighed down by anything that would block us from a lively and vibrant relationship with you. In all things, may we live our lives fully knowing that on you alone we build. Lord of mercy, keep us strong upon a rock. Into your hands, O Lord, we place these and whatsoever other prayers we may have. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll continue with the communion liturgy. We're going to speak the communion liturgy as it's printed in your worship bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And we pray together now the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
As we receive God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's share that peace with one another.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting from the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today. The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of the pew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by grace and of God alone, that we know about the grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, will welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Once again, our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. This is your announcer, Jim Kless, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead. As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through our sacrament of Holy Communion, the congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of sacrament is Drawn to the Cross, which you have blessed, hymn 356 in the Lutheran worship. We continue by singing I Lay My Sins on Jesus, hymn 356 in the Lutheran worship.
Joy and peace. Amen.
Our final hymn this morning during the distribution is Our Savior, Precious Savior, hymn 282 in a Lutheran worship.
Prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story, bring its blood to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of each hour, for the facing of this hour. Lo, the host of evil round us scorn the Christ, assail his ways. From the fears that long have bound us, free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. For the living of these days. Cure your children's warring madness, bend our pride to your control. Shame on wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss your kingdom goal, lest we miss your kingdom goal.
Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. I pray you've been blessed in worship this morning. Just a quick couple of things before you go. First, welcome back to Mark. Mark was away for, what, about a month, Mark? Down in Texas doing some work with the hurricane relief stuff, right? 32 days he was down there. So welcome back. Good to see you back. Glad you're back safe. So I'm sure it was stuff down there that will forever be ingrained in your mind. And but you were, God put you there for a reason. So good stuff. All right. On the announcement end of things, just very, very quick. For anybody that might be interested in a subscription to the Lutheran Witness is our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's official publication magazine. There's a sign-up sheet for that on the bulletin board. So if you would like one of those, it's a monthly, comes in once a month. I think it works out to be like, it's in your bulletin, but I think it's like 12-something a month, or for the year. So it's fairly inexpensive.
But it's kind of a neat resource, a lot of good articles and stuff like that in there, but also keeps you kind of in tune with the things that are happening on the with our church body nationally and even globally. So again, there's a sign-up sheet for that on the bulletin board. So if you'd like one, just get your name on there. There's all kinds of other sign-up sheets for different things that are going on. If you're interested in participating in any of the programs, again, please get your name on the sign-up sheets for that, so we can plan accordingly. As of last week, we did the free will offering. We collected $982 for hurricane relief. We'll continue that for the next couple of weeks for anybody that might be interested in making a donation to help the hurricane relief on the various places. You can get those to us within the next couple of weeks, and then we'll mail it off to the Senate. Okay. So again, if you're interested in that, please do. I put a new insert, Reformation insert, in your worship bulletin. I found this one to be very, very good. All of them are good, but check it out. And then there's some discussion kind of things or contemplative questions in the back, and then some Bible passages that match up with it. So do with it what you will. I hope you do something with it, though. So I just had this thought. With Reformation coming up at the end of the month, I was looking back at Ross and Mike. Both of them, just probably by coincidence, came with red shirts. So Reformation, no, you did it on purpose. Yeah, Mike's got his red on, too. So I was looking back, see, and I thought, boy, wouldn't it be really cool on Reformation Day if everybody could have a red shirt on of some kind so that the whole church is red, and then we can take a picture. And then maybe get it in the Lutheran Witness. I don't know. But seriously, just wouldn't it be kind of neat if we could do that? So keep that in mind. I believe Reformation Sunday it's either the 27th or 28th. What is it? 29th. I was close. So on a check, it's the last Sunday of the month of October will be the Reformation celebration here. So if you have a red shirt, wear it that day. I think that would be so cool to have the church in all red. All right? So just mark it down on your calendar in big bold letters. Wear red. Okay? I'm going to see if I can even find one of these kind of shirts in red. Yeah. Yes. All right. That's all I've got. Anything else for the good of the group? Wear red. Okay. All right. Hey, have a blessed week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Yeah, it'd be good. It'd be great. Hey, Mr. Brown, have a good week, huh? Or Ava? Yeah, I see what you're wearing. You're a goofball. That's the whole, how are you? Yeah, you're a goof. Hey, have a good week, huh? Have a good week. Oh! Have a good week. Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hi, Brandon. Have a good week.
Oh, I'm going to try.
All right, that away.